I feel maybe the slightest bit foolish trying to introduce our speaker for this evening. Pastor John Chapman needs no introduction here. But there's some things we ought to say. Don't one person leave this room tonight without telling John thank you. John Chapman was our first pastor here. We're only here because the Lord laid it on John to begin this work. He came to my living room one evening and told me, he said, we're leaving 13th Street, where many of us were attending at the time. And I said, I'm going with you. And he said, well, you teach the class and I'll preach and we'll see if the Lord has work. And that's what we did. And my love and admiration to John Chapman is second to none. He faithfully served as our pastor in extraordinary circumstances. And as long as we are here, we will owe John Chapman a debt of gratitude. And I have been wanting to have him preach here before us, before he moved. And fortunately, I found out that they're moving Friday. So we're loading up tomorrow morning. John says he'll have the truck there between 10:30 and 11. All available hands on deck. And you may, I know it's a work day, but maybe check with us after you get off work, see if we got that thing loaded or not. We might be able to use your help in the evening, too. But we're just delighted that John and Vicki and Jason are here, and John's going to preach for us this evening. And I know you're very comfortable hearing what the Lord has on your heart.
More comfortable in the past than right now. Turn to John chapter 6. Frank asked me to speak. This is the verse that came to my mind and that has stayed on my mind. I went down to Spring Lake about a year and a half ago, and they asked me then. I said, no, I'm not interested in being a pastor. I said, I'm not looking for it. I said, I want you to understand this right up front. I'm not down here looking for a place to preach. I said, I have enough places to go to and preach. I'm not interested in it. And I went back several times, and every time I would talk to Doug, he said, well, I said, have you all found anybody? He said, just waiting on you. That's what he'd say. He said, just waiting on you. I said, well, you're going to be waiting a long time, buddy. I said, I told you I'm not interested. I said, I think I'm doing what I just need to be doing. And of course, as time went by, the Lord laid that on my heart, and I just waited. And now and looking back, that was real admirable that they had the patience to wait on God. And some of them there were just confident. They're just confident that I was the man, and they weren't going to call nobody else. They said they wasn't going to call a young man. I said, I don't blame you. I said, you don't need to raise one. And they said, we wanted an older man, and you was the man we wanted. And so the Lord laid on my heart, and Vicki said she could move down there. And I tell you, they have just, it's been a blessing. It's been a real blessing to be down there. Just, I'm 61 years old. I said, well, you call somebody 61 years old? Brother Terrell said, well, you got 19 years on Moses. He was 80. So I started going back and looking, and I was looking at people that lasted until their 80s. I said, well, I might have 20 years down here, guy. You never know. But it's been a blessing, and this place has been a blessing, and several months ago, I was in Rocky Mount, and Henry walked across the front of the church, shuffled across the front of the church. He shuffled and come over to me, put his arm around me. He must have hugged me 10 times before I got out of there, and it was just so precious. But anyway, he came over, and he hugged me and said, how long have we known each other now? I said, Henry, it's been 40 years now. And he just, you know, he does it. He was like that. He went back over. I got to hear him all the way across that church telling people, we've known each other for 40 years. And I got to thinking about that, 40 years. And here we are, still here. 40 years has gone by now since I have believed the gospel. And what I titled this message is, what have I learned? Have I learned something? I believe I have. I believe I have. Let me read the scripture first before I go on here. In John 6:45, it is written in the prophets. That's Isaiah 54:13. John 6:45, it is written in the prophets. They shall be all taught of God. In Isaiah 54:13, it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And that's the first thing I thought of when Frank asked me. I thought, what have I learned in 40 years? 40 years of sitting under the gospel, 40 years of preaching the gospel, 40 years of being here in Ashland. I believe I sat under one, and most of you sat under one of the greatest preachers God has ever called. I don't think he's just one of the greatest preachers of our generation. I believe it's one of the greatest preachers that God has ever called to the ministry. I do believe that. Unique, unbelievable. And I have often sat down and thought, Lord, you could have sat me anywhere, but you sat me right there. And I am so thankful for this. That God let me sit there, and I didn't go out. I told Joe Terrell that. I said, you know, the Lord allowed me to sit there under that ministry, and you all went out when you were young. I said, I'm so thankful I got to just sit there and listen and soak it up. Thankful for that. And it's been a blessing. And one of the blessings is this, and this is, I said this to someone the other day, one of the great blessings is this. We are still here. We still believe the gospel. Does that ever dawn on you? Have you ever just sat down by yourself and thought, I'm still here and I still believe the gospel? I realize that we have been kept, this congregation here. We have been kept by the power of God through faith. God has kept us. We've not kept ourselves. God's kept us. And God has kept us believing. He's the one who's kept me believing, kept you. I haven't kept myself believing. God's done that. That's a work of God. Faith is a work. Faith is a gift of God, but it's also a work of God from beginning to end. He's the author and finisher of what? Our faith. He began it. And he'll finish it. And you don't know how comfortable that is to me. What comfort it gives me. Here we raise our Ebenezer. Hither by thy help we've come. What have I learned? One of the things that I've learned, I'm going to give you several things here, but I'm going to try to be brief with it. I've learned something of the brevity of life. It goes by fast, hasn't it? Life goes by fast. James said, he wrote in the book of James, I believe it's chapter 4, life, he said, is but a vapor. Take the age that you are now, whether you're young or old, take the age that you are now. Didn't that go by fast? I told that congregation last week, if I stay here 20 years, I said, it won't be long. I said, I'll be like Roy Rogers riding Trigger singing Happy Trails to You Again as I go out the door. I said, it'll go by that fast. Do you know that this group has been, we've been together now 12 years in October. October was 12 years. I was 50 years old. Now I'm 62. 12 years has gone by. Isn't that just a flash? Just a flash. We buried some, haven't we? Buried some. I've learned something of the brevity of life, how quickly it goes by. I've also learned something of the vanity of this life. The vanity of this life, listen now, without Jesus Christ. With Christ, now it's not a vain life. It's a life of purpose. With Christ in it. Jesus Christ is the only one who gives meaning to this life. He's the only reason. And He's the only one that gives any kind of meaning to the life I have on this earth. Without Christ, I'm nothing. Nothing. A fat zero. That's all it is. Scripture says all things were made by Him and for Him. I was made for Him. I was made by Him. Not only was I made by Him in creation, I was made by Him in the new birth. And I was made for Him, for His glory and honor. If you or I do not know Christ, our life on this earth is nothing but a vain existence. That's all it is. That's all it is. It is profitable for nothing. Better off not to have been born than not to know Jesus Christ. Better off not to have been born. And I cannot express strongly enough how important it is to know Christ. I feel this every time I preach. Every time I preach, I feel the importance of knowing Christ, of me knowing Christ, and the people I preach to knowing Christ. I've told the people there, I want us to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. I told them I did not come down to North Carolina to conduct a service, but to have a ministry that glorifies Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. The only reason. Oh, how important it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, all is meaningless and lost. I don't care what you or I accomplish in this life, it is absolutely useless apart from Him. And then I've learned this also, that the whole world really does lie in wickedness. There is absolutely no good in this world. In any way, shape, or form. None good. None good, and there's no good. Everything outside of Christ is under the power of darkness. Everything. Every book written, every secular book written, everything taught, has some wickedness in it somewhere. There's poison in the soup somewhere. There's poison in the soup somewhere. Even if it appears good, the whole world lies in opposition to God. To God. But now, what have I learned? Here's what really is the important thing. What have I learned about God? This is what's important. I've learned these other things. And I've learned them through the Scriptures. I've learned them by experience. I believe God has taught me some of these things. What have I learned about God, about Jesus Christ, about myself, and about salvation? That's what I want to know. What have I learned in that? One of the first things that I have learned, let me get a drink. One of the first things that I have learned is this, that God is. There was a time that I believed in the existence of God. I believed that there is a God. I went to so-called church all my life. I believed in the very existence of God, but that's not believing the God that is. Believing that there is a God And believing the God that is two totally different things. It's two totally different things. It goes from believing some things about God to believing God. Abraham believed God when he was told about the promised seed. Abraham believed God. He believed exactly what God said to him. And there's a difference. There's a difference in believing God. When you read the Word, you go from reading about God. Now listen. You go from reading about God in the Word of God to reading and hearing His voice. It's no more reading about Him, but you're listening to Him. You're listening to Him. As you read, you're listening to what He has to say in His Word. It's not some things about what's going on or what went on or things about Him. You actually read and you believe it. You say, that's what God said. God said it. God said it. That's what God said. God is to be believed. He cannot lie. He's to be believed. God has revealed Himself in His Word, and I have learned that there is absolutely no excuse for us not to know Him. For me not to know God, and for me not to know God more than I do, there's no excuse. I have all the revelation of God that I'll ever have right here in this book. Right here. And there's no excuse for me not to know Him. Even more than I do. The Bible teaches us that God is holy. You've been asked, go out on the street tomorrow. Ask people who God is. And you're going to get all kinds of answers. You're going to get all kinds of answers. But you and I know. We know this. That our God is holy. The God of the Bible. The God of creation. The God of salvation. Is absolutely holy. That means there is no imperfections in God. Aren't you glad He's holy? I tell you, there was a time that I didn't want anything to do with a holy God. That just didn't go with the way I wanted to live. But I'm glad that God's holy. You know why? That means He'll do right. That means He'll do right. He won't do wrong, He'll do right. He can't do wrong. He's holy. He's holy. Thank God He's holy. And not only is He holy, He's a just God. Aren't you glad He's just? I'm glad God. I am glad, as sinful as I am, as rotten as I am by nature, I'm glad God is a just God. Because if He's put my sins away through the blood, they're never going to come back. They're never going to come back up. If He's justified me, there'll never be a time that He'll turn on me. If He's loved me, there'll never be a time that He doesn't love me. He's a holy God. He's a just God. You know what He says in Isaiah? And a Savior. And a Savior. God delights to show mercy. The Scripture says He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy to the sinfulest of men. Thank God He delighted to show mercy to me one day. He delighted to call me by His grace. It was His good pleasure. Think about that. We can't even begin to imagine what that's like. It's God's good pleasure, He said, to make you His people. It's God's good pleasure to show mercy to you. It's God's good pleasure to show grace to you. It's His good pleasure. And I learned this, that God is sovereign, that none can stay His hand for saying to Him, what doest thou? I've learned this from the scriptures. I've learned this by experience. I've prayed and asked God not to do something, and he did it anyway. I've prayed and asked God not to do something, and he wouldn't do it. He didn't do it. He demonstrated his sovereignty. God is sovereign. The scripture says he gives no account for any of his matters. He doesn't answer to us. He's not going to tell you why he does what he does. He's not going to tell me why he has done to me what he's done. He gives no answer because he's the sovereign. You and I couldn't understand it if he did give us the answer. It's too high above us. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways higher than our ways. He did not explain to Job why he did what he did. He did not say there in Job, I think it's what, chapter 38 to 40 or somewhere in there, when he told Job to stand up. He didn't say, Job, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I had to do this to you. He said, Job, stand up like a man. Gird your loins up like a man and stand up and answer me. I'm going to give you some questions and you give me the answers. I'm like, wow. Wow. And he just took that man. That man just lost everything. He lost everything. And at the end of it, God says, now you stand up like a man. You gird up your loins like a man. And I'm going to command of you. I'm going to give you some questions. And you give me the answers if you can. Old Job couldn't give one answer. Where were you when I created the heaven? Where were you? I know where God was. He was on the throne. He's the sovereign. He's the sovereign. And he saves whom he will. I'm glad that's so. Because I tell you what, if he didn't, nobody would be saved. You and I would not be here tonight. We wouldn't be here tonight. Our God is holy. Our God is just. These are not just theological terms. Now listen. This is who God is. This is the nature of God. You know, he says in the Psalms, you thought I was altogether like yourself. You thought I was like you. And when we conjure up a God like we think, we always kind of make him up like we are. We just make him up like we are. So you thought I was altogether like yourself. Oh, no, no. Our God is holy. Our God is just. Our God is merciful. Our God is gracious. Our God is sovereign. Our God is love. Our God is life. And our God is life. That's who he is. And that's more than just theological terms. That's the nature of our God. That's his nature. Now, what have I learned about Jesus Christ? I've learned this, that Jesus Christ is the very God that I just told you about. The God of creation, our God is holy, just, that's him. That's who Jesus Christ is. He is God incarnate. When you read the Gospels and you watch him as he moves through the Gospels, as he moves through the crowd, and he heals the leper, he heals the lame man, he heals the man with the palsy, and he moves through and shows mercy, and he deals with those Pharisees, and he tells them the truth. You're a bunch of snakes, that's all you are, a bunch of vipers. As he does this, you know what you're watching? You know what you're watching? God. God. And he says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Have you ever thought of God that way? You ever thought of God as meek and lowly? That's who he is. He's the expressed image of the Father. He's all of God you're not going to see. Because he is God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Philip says, show us the Father. He says, you're looking at him. That's what he said. You're looking at him. Oh, that's Jesus Christ is the incarnate God. And this one who is God, who became a man, is made unto me and you who believe the gospel, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I don't produce any of that. I don't produce any of it. I don't bring any of it. I receive it. God gave it to me. It says that the Lord has made him to be my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, and my redemption. How secure am I? How secure are you in Christ? It can't get any more secure. It cannot get any more secure. And I have learned this. I have learned that Jesus Christ is truly, truly all that I need. If I have Christ, I have enough. You know what Jacob said when Esau was going to give him all his stuff? He said, I have enough. I have enough. You and I, and I've learned this. It's taken me some years, taken me 40 years. I have learned this. I have Christ. I have enough. If I have to live in a shack, if I have to beg like Lazarus, and the dogs lick at my sore, if I have Christ, I have enough. And if I have Christ, I'm the richest man in the world. All things are yours in Christ. Everything that belongs to him belongs to me. Everything. Absolutely everything. Scripture says, in him ye are complete. Christ is my prophet. Christ is my priest. Christ is my lamb. Christ is my resurrection. I'm not looking for an event to happen no more. I'm not looking for it. I had someone call me the other day. Want me to buy a book from this a TV preacher that does not preach the gospel. And he was talking to me. He said he's really got this thing down on what's going to happen with North Korea and what's coming and all this stuff. Are you personally? I don't care what's coming in that sense. I'm not worried. I do not lose sleep over this. There's one thing that will keep me awake at night, and that's my relationship to Christ. Am I his or am I not? Lord, don't let me miss you. Don't let me miss you. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What have I learned about myself? Let me wind this up. Well, I've learned that I'm a lot worse than I can ever conceive that I am. I'm a lot worse than I've ever thought to be. However bad I think I am, it's worse. That's what I've learned. It's worse. I've learned that I do deserve the wrath of God. I do. If God's holy, and I am what I am, a rebel, I deserve it. I deserve it. I have learned that I cannot save myself. Sin is too much for me. It's too strong for me. The sins of this flesh is too strong. That old nature is too much for me. I can't handle it. It's too strong. I can't save myself. I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And I need Christ now more than ever. I mean that. After 40 years, I need Christ now more than ever. I struggle with sin more now than I ever did. I do. Things that bother me now didn't bother me 40 years ago. The Sermon on the Mount, I have more trouble now with that Sermon on the Mount than I did with election. I don't have any trouble with election at all. Man, I love it. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the truth. I'll never grow in election. It is what it is. I'll never grow in particular redemption. It is what it is. But to love your enemies, pray for them who despitefully use you, that's what troubles me now. That's what really troubles me. If a man asks you to go a mile, go two. If he wants your ask for your coat, give him your cloak, give him all of it. Just let him have it. Now, to me, that's the deep things of God. Because that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. And he's never told us to do anything that he hasn't. You can't grow an election, can you? You can't grow an election. You can't grow in the doctrines so much because they are the pillars. It is what it is. But you can grow in love. You can grow in grace. You can grow in joy. You can grow in the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what troubles me. I don't see that. I've learned that without Christ, I can do nothing. You know, one of the things that I believe that I had to learn, and I believe I've learned something of it, I had to learn, especially in those earlier years, that I could not preach. I did. I had to learn. I could. I thought I could. And then there came a time I learned I couldn't preach, and I didn't want to do it no more. I don't think a man will ever be a preacher until God teaches him he can't do it. Well, God's the one who makes preachers. And if I'm actually standing here right now preaching, if I'm really doing it, and God is sending it out in power, it's the Holy Spirit doing it through me. I'm just a voice. John said, I'm just a voice. I'm just a vessel, a conduit. That's all I am. I have also learned that Jesus Christ is my greatest need. Some of you, you may have financial needs, you may have health needs, you have this need and that need. But I can tell you right now, Jesus Christ is our greatest need. I have learned this. I have learned that salvation is truly of the Lord. You can't save yourself. You can't. Could Jonah save himself? Even if he had gotten out of the belly of the whale, he'd drown before he got to the top. I'm sure he's too deep to make it to the top. Salvation is of the Lord. And God can save me. God can save me. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, that he's able to save me and still be God through Jesus Christ. His blood and his righteousness is sufficient. We need no more. God could justify me in Christ. He can clear me of all charges. He can do that. God can do that. And only God could do that. The Pope can't do that. They can't absolve you of sins. That's so stupid. That's so stupid. And he says there in verse 45, I quit. Everyone who hears, he says here, it's written in the prophets, that, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, that is every man who hears the voice of the Father. Who's speaking tonight? Is it just me? I hope not. I hope you're hearing something. I hope it's penetrating your heart. Every man, therefore, that heard the voice of the Father speaking to the heart, and he's learned of the Father, the Father's teaching him. He's teaching him. And for 40 years, the Lord's been teaching me. And you know what that teaching leads to? It keeps leading me back to Christ. It keeps bringing me back to Him. It keeps bringing me to Him. That's what it does. And hath learned of the Father, cometh. And you know what that means? That means continually. You know, I come to Christ now more than I did 40 years ago. I need Christ now more than I did 40 years ago. I need forgiveness now more than I did 40 years ago. I say more, but I feel it more. I need cleansing more than ever. I need kept more than ever. I could fall 1,000 times a day. I mean that. What have I learned? I've learned that I need Jesus Christ more than ever. More than ever.
As John was preaching, I thought of something he said years ago. I don't remember when he said it, but it was outstanding. What have we learned? You said Christ is a teacher and he's a lesson. He's the only one that can teach us, and if we learn it, it's going to be him. And I didn't plan what I was going to say when I introduced John tonight. You all know he's the pastor at Bethel Baptist Church in Spring Lake, North Carolina. And back at the conference this summer at Crossville, right before I left that conference, I saw John at the Y. We were talking about this, and he said, "No, I'm not going to Spring Lake." And Doug West was there at the conference at Crossville, and he said, "Can we go off here and talk for a minute?" He said, "What do you think John's going to do?" "I don't want to tell him. The man just told me he's not coming." And Doug said, "Our congregation is 100% united. We want John to be our pastor." And I said, "Well, then you just keep waiting." Well, I got home, and Don Fortner called me. He said, "Well, I know you're going to miss John." I said, "What are you talking about?" It was that quickly after that conversation. The Lord called him to go down there, and Don's right. We're going to miss you. But I'm very thankful. We're going to sing a song here in a minute, but now this is not goodbye. John's come back here in April. He said to Al, "I'll hold you to it." He's going to come back to our conference in April. He's going to be at Lexington in December, the conference there. But we certainly pray Godspeed. One of the trips the Apostle Paul got ready to leave, one of his mission trips, he got ready to leave, and all the men went down there with him. Before Paul left, they bowed in prayer, and they prayed, "Godspeed." Let's do that. Let's bow in prayer before we sing a song. Our Father, how we thank you for allowing us to be here this evening to hear your gospel preached, to hear one more time of our great God, our all-sufficient Savior, who meets our every need, to hear of our nothingness, and to hear that Christ is all. Father, how we thank you. Father, I pray that tonight you would be our teacher, that you would apply these lessons to our hearts, to all of us, that we might leave here coming to our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us faith in him. Give us a heart that hungers and thirsts after him, that pants after him. Father, we pray at this time that you'd bless our brother John in a special way. Be with him and his family as they head to North Carolina. Father, bless them in every way. Bless them with your presence. Bless them with the power of the gospel. Meet their every need. Bless that congregation and your people there richly through the preaching of your word. All these many years you've given them such a faithful pastor, Brother Rupert. Now you've sent them another one. Father, we pray you continue to bless them. Bless them mightily for your great name's sake. It's in our Lord Jesus.